and 2 months ago I graduated from Booker T. Washington HSPBA. Next year I plan to get my first year basics out of the way by going to Richland Community College. I grew up in a Christian home with my God-fearing parents and my two Christ-pursuing sisters. I attended a small church with my family, and I knew it as home. I knew everyone and had many close friends, and I was comfortable, and I didn't feel out of place. During the middle of my first grade year, my parents decided to move us and call Watermark our home church. This was the first time I experienced change, and I hated it. I was placed in On Your Mark, and it felt weird and abnormal. This was a feeling I never felt before. Over time, I got comfortable with the idea of Watermark. At 8 years old, I accepted Christ into my heart alongside my older sister. It was through the teachings of On Your Mark and Crossroads that led me to understand the gospel and to further my walk in relationship with Christ. If you had asked me on a scale from 1 to 10 beforehand if I would believe I would go to heaven, I would have said 7. But if you ask me now, I can say with all confidence a 10. I have this confidence because I believe that God's perfect Son died for an imperfect people, and those who believed in him would go live with him for eternity in heaven. Throughout the years, I've been able to grow in my walk with Christ and deepen my understanding of what it means to live for Christ. However, there have been times where I've been tempted to pursue worldly desires over God. These three areas that I've seen this occur most of my life has been in the areas of pride, people-pleasing, and pornography. As the middle child of three girls, there was and still is quite a bit of competition. At least for me, there was. I had this need to one-up my sisters in everything they did. At the time, I hadn't realized or cared to notice that this was pride. There was a constant need to be superior and always be right as rain about everything underneath the sun. I would sometimes, and still, constantly tell my sisters in arguments, you know, I could be wrong, but in this case, I'm right. And I would say that for every argument I would get in, having the mindset that I am right until somebody proves me wrong. My eldest sister brought to my attention that, yes, I am usually right, but I lack a sense of humility when certain situations arise. There was an unwillingness to hear the other side and talk through the situation. Oftentimes, I wholeheartedly believed I was right and that I didn't feel the need to turn to God or seek counsel through prayer and scripture. Through this came the recognition of my daily sin struggle that I will probably have for the rest of my life. I have to constantly remind myself during arguments or disagreements that there are two truths to every situation and only God knows the complete truth. For those who struggle with pride, I encourage you to memorize this verse. Proverbs 13:10, pride leads to conflict. Those who take advice are wise. We all have a sin struggle that is with us forever, and mine is pride. Throughout my entire life, I strive to please others and do everything within my power to stay with the it crowd when I was younger. The older I got, the focus shifted, and I was just trying to please my friends in middle school and even on to high school. Even to my parents, I attempted to give them the daughter who had the good grades and did well in school, unlike my sisters. I wanted to be known and accepted by worldly people and things. The summer of 2017, I attended a music camp, Apple Hill. This was my second year, and I was excited for the next 9 days. Throughout camp, I had succumbed heavily to pleasing others around me, which ultimately led to consuming alcohol. I wasn't pressured into drinking. I just wanted to because I thought it would make me fit in with everyone else. This resulted in me lying to my younger sister's face and continuing on with my booze-filled night. As fun as it might have been, I found myself at 2 o'clock in the morning on the bathroom floor, crying and calling my mom. I felt so much pain and regret from underage drinking and lying to my sister. I had a fear that she would see me in a different light, and I couldn't let that happen. As I was on the phone with my mom, I repented my sins, and she prayed with me. The next day, I mustered up the strength to tell my sister to her face, and I let down the facade of who I wanted her to think I was. She knew I had lied to her, and she knew who I really was. I just pretended that she didn't. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart." This verse spoke to my heart because I was not put on this earth to please my peers. I was made to please God and share the good news. As I got older, I put a lot of emphasis on making my relationship with God look strong from an outsider's perspective. I wanted others to look at my faith and think that all was fine. However, my relationship with God was not fine, and I wasn't fine. Going into middle school was a big change for me, and I hated change. It forced me out of my comfort zone and to meet new people and experience new things. As soon as I thought the change was over, my parents decided to switch me to a different middle school, and I had to start all over again in a new school. Those 2 years, I was constantly out of my comfort zone and put into places where I was the new kid, the stranger. I started to make surface-level friendships, but I never had those deep, meaningful friends that I could talk to. This led to a sense of loneliness, and I found comfort and solace in pornography. Throughout high school, pornography became a normal thing to turn to for comfort and security, even though it never filled the loneliness void I felt in my heart. Lust had taken over my life, and I didn't know how to handle it. I thought I wasn't ever going to be normal because I struggled with this. I believed the lie that society sold to me, saying, it's only a thing guys struggle with, and it's not wrong if you're not hurting anybody. The problem with this lie was that a specific sin isn't assigned to a specific gender. As for the hurting, I was hurting others, even though I didn't know it. I was hurting the countless men and women who are trapped in this industry involuntarily by misguided people. Along with hurting them, I was also undoubtedly hurting myself. I tarnished my view of something that was meant to be beautiful and safe for marriage. For too long, I kept it a secret, afraid that if anyone were to find out, they wouldn't look at me the same. It wasn't until Hideaway of my senior year where I really realized I needed to make a change in my life. I decided to turn to God and my small group whenever I was tempted or the feeling of loneliness was creeping over my shoulder. Everybody's responses were completely different from what I thought they were going to be. They all told me I was still forgiven and loved by not only them, but our King in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except that it is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." This verse is a constant reminder that my temptation is not above God, and I am not the only one. It is also a reminder that he provides a way out through him. He provides us with community to keep us accountable. Today, I am so grateful that God's people have stood by me and reminded me of God's grace and truth. Thank you for listening.